Support for the Closing Market Report comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of May 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. At Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, he serves as their senior grains analyst. A bit later, we'll check the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And the agricultural weather forecast will come to us from Chesapeake Energy on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll have some notes on the wet spring as it relates to wheat, weeds, and planting of corn. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. Nearby May contract and the soft red winter wheat pit down 9.5 cents at $7.59¾. The harvest month, July, at $7.91¾, 9.5 cents lower. The hard red contract in Kansas City finished the July at $8.90¼, down 11.5. Corn pit now, May futures, $7.30¾. The settlement price down 23¼. July at $7.34½, 22 cents lower. September at $7.03½, down 12.5. In December, the new crop, $6.61¼, 8¼ lower. The March futures at $6.72, down 8 cents. May soybeans, 2.5 lower at $13.90¼. July, $13.93, down 1. August, $13.90½, down 3/4. November beans at $13.73¾, 1/2 lower. Bean meal futures finished at $3.56.80, down $1.30 in the May contract. May soybean oil at $58.19, up 6 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract in the June at $111.95, down $1.40. The August at $114.52½, down $1.17½. May feeder cattle at $131.05. 85 cents lower. The August at $134.82½, down $1.12½. May lean hogs today, $95.65, up 37½. June at $95.47½, 25 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil futures, $113.31 a barrel, down 61 cents. Ethanol at $2.61¼, down 0.35 cents. And the June contract at $4.69¼, down 0.1 cents for the day. Heating oil finished at $3.24¼, up 2¼ cents. And the gold futures in the May contract at $1,556.70 an ounce, up 70 cents. That heating oil, which is also diesel fuel, actually down 2¼ cents, not up 2¼ cents. It settled at $3.24¼. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,812, just about 2 points lower on the day, and the dollar now at 72.95 is up 0.01. The CRB index trading 368.17, down 2.39, and the S&P at 1362, down 0.76. The weather forecast with the two-state region, actually for the Urbana-Champaign area, looks like this for this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 62 degrees, and north-northwest winds at about 8 miles an hour. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain, that after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low 44 degrees, north-northwest winds at about 7 miles an hour. Tuesday should see partly sunny skies, a high near 57, northwest winds between 8 and 13. They'll gust to 17, and Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 37 degrees, north-northwest winds between 5 and 13. Wednesday should show sunny skies, a high near 65 degrees, northwest winds at 3 to 6, and Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 45. Thursday, a 40% chance of showers. There they are again. Partly sunny, a high near 65, and Thursday night, chance of showers continues, a thunderstorm or two as well. Mostly cloudy on Thursday evening, a low of 46. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
The market decided to roll over today, and I saw some things that said liquidation was rebalancing. We saw that last week at 1.2. What'd you think?
Yeah, the newswire pretty well touted that some liquidation involved. We'll see if we have some confirmation in the morning on the volume and open interest. Market going down, open interest should go down, indicating some longs getting out of the marketplace. We've been seeing that due to possibility of a little drier forecast in some areas. Also, too, we had the May deliveries start taking place, even though there's been zero corn deliveries. The liquidation has occurred mainly in the May contract, but we're still dealing with 1.5 million contracts of open interest in the corn. So there's still a ton of speculative interest there. Funds, trading funds, has been estimated to be a seller of 12,000 contracts of corn today. So hopefully here at the beginning of the month they're getting where they want to be. But the overall dominant feature will be the forecast as we move through the early planting progress here in the next month to 2 months.
And what's that forecast that you're looking at telling you about the next week and a half?
Highly variable. I guess have the right to change my mind in about another 6 hours when some more weather maps start to come out. But for the most part, there's moisture in the forecast as we move into Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Maps are kind of mixed on the amount. The next round is supposed to cover the northern tier here. The southern region still remains waterlogged. If you watch the Weather Channel there, they continue to put some real big yellow globs in through that region. It's been getting the train effect here for the last week, and they continue to have an additional 3 to 4 inches in their forecast.
Can I come back to the corn just a bit and liquidation? So we're talking about liquidations, part of that on ideas that it'll be drier weather, but the May and July contracts were the took the deepest cuts, down 23 and a quarter in the May, the July down 22 cents. Those would be both old crop and not impacted, I suppose, by what's happening in the field for this coming year. What kind of liquidation was there? Was that just speculative liquidation in your mind of folks that don't understand the cropping system, or is there something else happening?
I think it's technical sell programs kicking in more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Failure to see, additional bullish news sort of generated the selling interest. Spread unwinding. Typically, the average person will think, well, if you got wet weather, it's going to hurt or support the new crop. Longer term it may, but whenever there's a problem, they tend the tendency to buy the old crop and get some near-term coverage, knowing that there will be supplies this fall. How much, who knows, but there will be supplies available. At what price is the big question, too. But, two, the bull spread has been real popular. I think we've seen some unwinding of that. Then, two, there's some question about demand. A lot of these buyers have been real sharp on marketing, and they've covered some positions way, way ahead of time. And the fear is if demand starts to slow, we might lose some support in the front end here.
Turn your attention to the soybean market. It held fairly well in the face of large losses in the corn and the wheat pits.
Yeah, beans have taken sort of the back seat here. Brazilian harvest is fairly well done for the most part. We're in a position now where if there is any problems getting some of that harvest into the marketing channel, we could maybe pick up a little bit more demand, but overall demand is just not going to go away. If we're not planting corn, we're not planting beans either. Also, too, if we do remain somewhat wet here in the eastern belt where the soft red winter wheat crops raised, that it might be some problems getting the double crop beans in, too. So beans might be continuing to sit on the back burner here until production prospects come a little bit more clear here as we move more into the growing season.
Anything to add on the livestock for the day?
Meltdown in the beef sector here. Seasonally losing a little bit of demand. Seeing weights pick up a little bit. Speckly crowd sort of taking kind of a exit mode here. We're getting down to the late winter lows. We expect June cattle to find support here at this 110 level. And same thing in the June hogs. We've had a pretty good flush out and through here. We're figuring this 95, 94 cent level in the June lean hog futures will make an attempt to catch here.
Thank you so much.
Very good, Todd.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear him again anytime you'd like in two different ways. One on our website at willag.org. The other is by dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We call that our mobile analyst portal, and upload a voicemail from either the pre-opening market reports, rather the opening market reports or the closing market reports at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan told a town hall meeting in his Wisconsin district during the congressional recess that he supports ending subsidies for big oil companies as part of a wider austerity drive. Ryan said, quote, "We're talking about reforming the safety net and the welfare system. We also want to get rid of corporate welfare. Corporate welfare goes to agribusiness, energy companies, financial service companies. We propose to repeal all of that." Separately, Senate Financial Committee Chairman Max Baucus has announced a plan to curb tax breaks for oil companies. According to Baucus, the proposal would include rolling back tax incentives for the five largest oil and gas companies, reducing the foreign tax credit they can claim against royalty payments, and imposing an excise tax on certain Gulf of Mexico leases. The head of USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture is stepping down. Roger Beachy, a leader in plant research, will resign effective May 20th as head of the USDA agency that awards $1.5 billion a year in food, diet, and agricultural research funding. The agency oversees half of USDA's spending on research, education, and economics. The USDA says that Beachy is resigning because he wants to spend more time with his family. Statistics Canada today says that a sharp rise in petroleum prices boosted Canadian producer prices and sent raw material costs soaring in March. Industrial product prices were up 0.9% on the heels of an identical rise in February. The March increase was led by an 8.2% jump in petroleum and coal product prices. Stripping out the effects of the exchange rate, producer prices would have risen 1.1%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Please do visit us on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the wet spring rightfully has farmers worried about what they'll find in their fields. I'll have some highlights from last week's Thursday edition of the University of Illinois Crop Sciences Bulletin.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's start with the one crop that is up and growing, winter wheat. The abundant spring rains are causing problems there, too. The plant pathologist at the U of I says rain in southern Illinois should put farmers on the lookout for Fusarium head blight, also known as scab. Only wheat fields that have had it out and or are flowering are at risk of infection by the disease fungus. For fields flowering, a foliar fungicide for suppression of scab and the associated mycotoxin called DON is recommended. Not all fungicides are created equal in regards to suppression of scab and don. Check out the website bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu for the details. I'll repeat that later. The highest level suppression, writes Carl Bradley there, comes when the fungicide is applied at Feek's growth stage 10.5.1. That's early anthesis, when the anthers are beginning to extrude from the middle part of the head. Now, weed control. Where to start? First, tillage. The later it gets, the less likely it will do the job on its own, says U of I Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager. Winter annuals. Again, the later it gets, the harder these become to control. Up the application rates for the glyphosate burndown. On a related 2,4-D tank mix note, use the ester version. Oh, and glyphosate-resistant weed populations. It's late, and you might be thinking about post-emergence instead of pre-emergence herbicide applications. If you've got resistant weeds, the pre-emergence control options are more plentiful. And finally, about switching to a shorter season corn hybrid, not necessary until very late in May or even early June. Source, Emerson Nafziger, Illinois agronomist. Speaking of which, this year's rain-delayed planting season may cause farmers to reconsider their cropping choices, as you've already heard. I'll have more in a moment on a downloadable spreadsheet that can help them put the economics of corn versus soybeans to the test. The wet weather has raised many concerns and questions in the Midwest about the coming corn crop. One of them is at what point the delay might cause farmers to shift acres scheduled for corn to soybean instead. The ag economist at the University of Illinois have worked up a spreadsheet to help producers consider their options. Gary Schnitke is part of the Illinois FarmDoc team.
And what we've done is built in agronomic functions developed in the Crop Sciences Department here at the University of Illinois that give an average or projected yield for different planting dates, combine that with price of corn and soybeans and cost, and look at, you know, which crop has a higher return on any given planting date.
The Excel spreadsheet can be downloaded from the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. Look in the Fast Tools section of the site. The spreadsheet is named the Planting Decision Model, and it calculates the corn and soybean returns by date of planting. Using the current commodity prices and costs, switching to more soybeans seems several weeks away, says Schnitke.
Right now, looking at those yield functions and very high corn and soybean prices, the numbers suggest that we wouldn't want to switch in northern and central Illinois till at least the end of May. And into June sometime. In southern Illinois, those decisions to switch from corn to soybeans occur in the last week of May. And again, those are using yield functions that are defaulted within the model.
The planting decision model includes a sheet that estimates corn and soybean returns by planting date. The key factors are yield by planting date, harvest time prices, and non-land cost. Yields for differing planting dates are estimated using research conducted by Emerson Nafziger in the Department of Crop Sciences, University of Illinois. Gary Schnitke says the planting decision model is the first of several spreadsheets to be developed for this cropping season.
We're going to add a couple other modules as we go through the season, one dealing with late planting and crop insurance, but right now the returns by planting date are available.
Watch the Fast Tools section of the FarmDoc website for the release or subscribe to the FarmDoc Daily RSS feed. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson. Thanks so much, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd. Well,
farmers calling in to say what's going on today?
Well, no, it really hasn't been too busy. The old crop corn really took it on the chin, but new crop corn was only down 8 and the beans were down 1 to 2. So other than old crop corn, it really wasn't one of the more extreme moves that we've seen lately.
What's your opinion on why old crop took such a hard day?
I think there were some rumors out last week that maybe China was in the market for some U.S. corn, and that strengthened the old crop corn. And when those rumors failed to materialize anything substantive, we gave some of that back. So, you know, the carryout in old crop corn is extremely snug. So when you get rumors like that, you'll see the old crop gain on the new. And then on days like this, when nothing seems to happen in that respect, and the old loses compared to the new.
And 8 cents used to be a pretty good size move, but I suppose in the new crop, that wasn't a terribly big move for the day.
Yeah, 8 cents on 650 corn is only about 1%. So, you know, back when corn was $3, that would be a 3 cent move. So,
yeah,
everything's kind of equivalent that way.
It makes a big difference. So then turn your attention to the soybean market because it managed to hold really well today.
Well, it hasn't done as well as of late, you know, so I think the funds and the speculators have been long on the corn market, and now with maybe the weather you know, opening up a little bit, at least in the western corn belt, we should see a little bit more corn get planted when the numbers come out this afternoon, and then especially next Monday. Not around here necessarily, but like I say, in the western corn belt, some of the traders are going to view that as you know, as maybe we will get those corn acres planted after all, and so that hurts the corn a little bit more than the beans.
It would have been nice to have sunshine and 70 degrees in the area today, kind of like we did yesterday, but the rainfall started to come. Not much, but enough to turn it gray, I suppose, and dampen it down. What are farmers telling you about when they might be able to get in the field if the weather holds for the rest of the week?
Yeah, late this week, there's a chance, Thursday, Friday, but of course then we've got a 50% chance of rain Thursday, Friday, and then another chance Saturday, Sunday. So we just need to miss one or both of those rains to get some field work done, and then what we'd really like to have is warm up and get it into the 70s. I don't think that's supposed to happen this week. Highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s, and so that's not going to be real good drying weather. So it feels like this week is going to be kind of a spin your wheels week, and I guess I'm hopeful that maybe next week we can get in the field and get something done.
How important is it to the marketplace that the deep southern parts of the United States, or the growing region for corn that is, hasn't really been moving for quite some time?
Well, I think as we get those numbers, as we see the numbers, planting progress numbers develop over the next few weeks, maybe that realization will hit, and the old crop will, you know, command that premium. Because if we don't have corn coming off down south in August and early September, we're going to have to keep that price of old crop corn a little bit higher to make sure that people that can shift from one month to the other, you know, defer some of those purchases to the new crop. So if we don't get early corn planted, that should strengthen that old crop, new crop spread a little bit.
And Greg, what are your bids for the day there at the Andersons?
And let's see, cash corn finishes the day at 724, new crop corn 629. Old crop beans are 1381, new crop beans 1339, and new crop wheat this summer 752.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, I'll return when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're on the 23rd floor of the Boeing Building in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Truffles Day. Truffles were known by the ancient Samaritans, Greeks, and Romans, who served black and white truffles as appetizers and in salads. The earliest known surviving documents mentioning truffles in cooking are in 2 9th century manuscripts. By the way, a 3-pound truffle sold in 2007 for $330,000. It was unearthed near Pisa, Italy. On this day in agricultural history in 1883, S.G. Roberts, a member of the Dakota Territorial Council, convinced his fellow representatives to draft and pass a bill that would allow the northern portion of Dakota Territory to create an agricultural college. Today, it is known as North Dakota State University. In 1885, Good Housekeeping magazine began publication. Founded by Clark W. Bryan, the magazine was eventually purchased by Hearst Publishing in 1911. The magazine was a leader in advocating for the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act, which provided federal inspection of meat products and established labeling requirements on a number of drugs. The Meat Inspection Act authorized the Secretary of Agriculture to inspect and condemn any meat product found unfit for human consumption. By the way, the act was partly in response to Uptown Sinclair's The Jungle, a look at the Chicago meatpacking industry. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is Mark Russo to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It's gray, a little cloudy, cooler than we'd like at this point, Mark. But I hear there's actually clear skies or something in the way of sunshine that's coming, and maybe warmer temperatures, but maybe not.
Well, Todd, from a temperature standpoint, first, this week, unfortunately, is going to feature a bias of colder than normal temperatures after our kind of brief surges here of warmth here earlier last week and then into a little bit here on Saturday. But colder than normal weather over the next few days, and then that will even persist, albeit not as quite as cold levels during the second half of this week. We're going to see a more sunshine, though, this week, at least compared to what we've seen as a pattern here, at least for this week, takes a bit of a breather here over the Midwest, and the rain systems that are coming through are not as potent and heavy widespread producers as they have been the past couple of weeks, because with the exception of the current one, which is still a widespread producer for the Ohio River Valley. But a system here in the middle of this week, one over the upcoming weekend, a bit lighter and less widespread compared to what we've seen. Pattern, though, looks to at least turn a little bit more active as we go into next week, and that does that will also be accompanied by warmer temperatures as well, which is one of the reasons why we're going to see at least more widespread rains return next week. So kind of a little bit of everything here coming in over the next couple of weeks. Certainly not as wet here across Illinois compared to the past couple of weeks, but still no sign of any, you know, 7-8 day or long stretches of totally open, dry, warm weather, which would be, you know, ideal here for planting.
How odd is that for this time of the year?
I'm sorry, what's that?
How odd is it not to have an open stretch?
Yeah, it is pretty odd, especially since we were now going through at least the first half of May without these stretches. And by and large, April didn't feature that much in the way, with the exception of the first weeks 2 and week 3 of April featured a little bit more open weather here compared to late. But, yeah, this is very unusual for this time of year, both from a precipitation standpoint as well as a temperature standpoint.
And then check in on the Chinese growing season. They have the second largest corn production on the planet, but they've got to get it put in the ground too.
Yeah, and it looks like they'll likely have some issues here with their planting progress here coming up. We're concerned about dryness across the North China Plain, which just doesn't seem to let up here, as many areas have seen deficient rainfall there over the past 6 months. And in addition,
not much in the way of any significant improvement here coming up, with the exception of at least some rain opportunities here this weekend, but by and large not a wholesale pattern change that would promote more significant precip. And then up north in northeastern China, they are also cool and seeing above normal precipitation, so that's delaying corn as well as the start of soybean planting in northeastern China.
Thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.